Hey everybody, this is Alan Zaring of the band The World Will Burn. You're listening to Power Rock Podcast with host Jim Madonna. Crank it up and rip off the knob. You don't know
what's in my mind. Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode. And friends, today I am super excited because I have on the line hard rock guitarist Alan Zaring from the band The World Will Burn. Alan, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Alan, I got to tell you something. When we hooked up on Facebook, I was introduced to your band, The World Will Burn. And I got to tell you, man, when I heard some of the songs that you guys were putting out, I was totally pumped. I'm like, I have got to get a hold of Alan and see if you would be willing to do this interview. So I truly and sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart, you taking your time.
It's my pleasure. First, thanks for the compliments. You know, anybody that writes a song likes to know that people like it. And really, it's an opportunity for us. You know, we're a new band. And even though we have a singer that everybody knows, the band itself hasn't been around but for a few years. And so it's tough for new bands to get a whole lot of traction. And even though we have Dale in the band, that everybody kind of knows him. You know, if you watch what people post about, what people say they're listening to, usually it's bands that have been around 15 or 20 or maybe 25 or 30 years. So everybody that we can talk to the band about, this is a great opportunity for us.
I like the way you said that because, you know, doing audio interviews gives the fans a much better perspective of what the artist is saying. You know, we can read them online, but when the fans hear your voice, you know, I think it changes the whole persona of what's going on. Would you agree? I mean,
oh, definitely, Jim. And you know, these days, especially with you know all of the changes that have happened in home recording, there are so many options out there, and it's hard to find a band that you like because you don't know. You know, it's like the old-fashioned stuff. You might go through a Facebook page and see an image or an album cover, and you thought, maybe I'll check those guys out. You remember when you used to go to the record store and judge the music by the album cover? It's tough. It's tough to find music that you like because there seems like there's almost an overload of it. Our opportunity to talk, and, you know, you and I can talk about this, and I can answer some questions. I think they'll know a whole lot more about our music than they ever would just by listening to it.
Here we go. I'm going to throw out a question to you right here.
Okay.
What was that defining moment in your life that made you want to become a musician?
Geez, that's a great question. I don't think I've ever had that. You know what? I'm going to just get really crazy with you. I'm going to tell you this story, and I've thought about it since that time. I was probably, I'm going to guess I was six, and I grew up in Kentucky, as you know, and of course, bluegrass is very popular here, and we had an old 8-track player, you know, the kind that you put the 8-track in and click through the tracks. And we had this 8-track of Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, if anybody knows who they are. But that was the first time that music touched me, and it was a ballad. And I remember listening to it, and it's like a light went on. I got it. This is a sad story. And it had an emotional impact on me. I think that's the first time music ever impacted me, and I figured out what the purpose of music was all about. So you're the first person to ask that question and probably the first person I've ever told that to. But, you know, from a bigger perspective, I love to play jazz. So I played jazz saxophone through high school. And then, of course, I picked up the guitar when I discovered rock and roll. And I think, you know, most of it at that point as a younger person, hey, it was just to kind of, you know, it was kind of to be cool. I mean, I loved rock and roll, and I've kind of always been involved with music. There wasn't ever a time when I said, hey, I'm going to make this, you know, I'm going to take it to the next level, I guess. But I'll be honest with you and tell you that, you know, even though I've been playing a long time, I kind of dropped out. I played a lot, probably up through my mid-20s. And I just kind of fell out of the scene. I got into life and working and figured it was too late for me. And then probably about 2015, probably it is when I said, you know, I just had this urge. I had always written songs. I said, you know what, I just out of the blue, I said, I'm going to pick that up again. So kind of got my guitars out, dusted them off a little bit, started to write some songs. And of course, you know, it's kind of, it's history from there because you and I are talking about it.
You guys have two albums out, Severity and Reunation. Could you tell the listeners where they can get a copy of those albums?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, not to be selfish, but we would love for folks to get it, to get those CDs from our website, because then we don't have to share. So that is www.theworldwillburn.com. So that's easy. And both of our CDs are for sale up there. You can buy the digital downloads. Actually, if you buy the CD, you get the download for free. But a lot of people like Amazon because it's easy. So, you know, you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at CD Baby. Our label is Retroactive. And so Retroactive Records, you can purchase it from them if you want to do so as well. So it's out there if you want to listen to it. And it's also on all the streaming platforms, you know, Tidal and Spotify and Apple Music. So
okay, great.
It's out there if they want to hear it, yeah.
Awesome. I'm curious, how did the name The World Will Burn come about?
You know, I wish I could remember better than I do, but I'll kind of give you a short history of the band. So anyway, to make a long story short, I had known the guys in Bride because they were from my home state. So I'd known them for many years, and they had retired, but wanted to make one more album. That album ended up being called Incorruptible. I had some buddies that I was playing music with. They ended up on that album. And so as it happened, Dale Thompson and Troy Thompson from Bride would come over to my house and they would rehearse. And even though I had been friends with Troy for a long, long time, I didn't know Dale that well. But through that process of kind of helping them, and I did whatever I could do to help him with that album, I got to be friends with Dale. And so when we started this this project together, he had moved to New Zealand. So here I am in Kentucky and he's in New Zealand. And everything that we have done has been emails, Facebook messaging is crazy. And he just said, well, let's throw it out there. And if I recall this correctly, he actually posted, hey, I think I'm going to come out of retirement. What are some cool band names? And there were some people, we had a lot of different suggestions. And there was this one name that somebody came up with. I can't remember what it was originally, but I think he maybe twisted it around a little bit. And I listened to it and I said, I think that's going to fit, because it's, I don't want to sound like we're terribly apocalyptic, but if you listen to the music, you'll probably get that. So it's kind of an end of times, you know, strike the match and burn it down. But that's not all bad, because, you know, when you have destruction, you always have rebirth. So I think there's the there's some hope in our music that goes along with it. So to answer your question, I think it was simply a Facebook post that we kind of took and tweaked up a little bit, and there we go.
Very interesting. I mean, it's a cool name, and I'm like, okay, the world will burn. What's really going on here? But
yeah, it's not subtle, is it?
No, it's deep, man. You know.
Well, and if you listen to, you know, the music is aggressive, music for sure. Even though we try to have some dynamic range, it's aggressive, and these are probably the most aggressive, forthcoming, honest lyrics I think that Dale's ever written. I mean, he doesn't have to hold anything back. So I think the name fits. Either that or we molded to fit the name, but for whatever reason, I think it worked out perfect.
The first song I'd like to talk about, it's called The More Things Change. Can you give the listener some history about that song?
Yeah, I will. That was a song that we really didn't know where it was going to go. I had written all of the parts to it, and I liked it. You know, I knew it was a keeper, but I didn't know where it was going to fit or how we were going to stack it and, you know, and kind of rank it in our songs. But as it turns out, Dale, he wrote just some crazy, awesome lyrics for it. And just his vocal parts just matched what I had written so well that I knew the song was starting to pick up some steam. I think the thing that set that song apart is just Dale's performance. I mean, his vocal performance is phenomenal. And it's a fast song. And so we had written the song, and when we finally are listening, you know, we sit back, all of the songs, we're like, hey, this is probably in our top three. But that song actually picked up a whole lot of life probably almost a year after the album was released. So it was getting some play on some radio, and there were some folks that liked him, but a really cool guy out of Arizona and his group, they're called Film Salad Pictures, really liked that song. And so they're the ones that produced a really cool video for it. I don't know if you've seen that, but we've got a real cool video for that song, and it just, they put a ton of work into that, and it was awesome. And when that video was released, it really brought that song back up and made it probably one of the top 4 or 5 songs in our entire catalog. So thanks to those guys for the awesome video. But yeah, that's one of those songs that was kind of a sleeper, and it really didn't pick up its popularity until, you know, probably a year after it was released.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man, it's a killer song. So why don't we go ahead and let the listeners hear The More Things okay. Change with The World Will Burn. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast. Alan Zaring. And Alan, what a great tune, man. I mean, I don't want to sound like a robot. All the songs that we're going to play here on the show are great. You know, I mean, I love the riffs. I love the vocals. I mean, the whole arrangement is just amazing.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. And I know you're supposed to ask me questions, but I always like to know why people like our song. So besides the things that you told me, tell me what you like about it. That always helps me write another good song or another hit.
Well, like I said, you know, the intros always catch me. I'm a heavy, I like to hear guitars. And,
yeah,
you know, that's just personally, you know, for me. When you have a screaming guitar, the way, you know, whether, you know, it's a solo or, you know, it's just, you know, doing harmonies or whatever's going on, man, that's what captivates me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man, that's wonderful. And I'm glad to hear that, because that's what I do.
Right.
I'm the guitar guy, so you'll notice there's a lot of guitars going on. That's what
right.
I like.
Next question for you. Has there ever been a point in your life that you had lost the interest in playing? If so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
Oh, yes, for sure. And for me, it was a long time. So, I played, in cover bands, and I was writing some songs and kind of playing with some of my buddies. But I really, and probably in my mid-20s, it just kind of fell, but it fell behind me, I think, or I just left it behind. But I just got into so many other things, and that's when you're really trying to get ahead and you're working too much. Plus, music really changed. Not that I didn't like the way music was changing, but that's when, we went from kind of these guys that were real players, shred stuff, hair bands. But Nirvana came out and everything kind of twisted, and it twisted quickly. And like I said, it was probably time for hair band music to go anyway. We kind of got into the grunge thing and then the nu metal thing, and I listened to it, but since that wasn't kind of what I had always played, I just kind of became an observer, and I quit really playing any music. So I tell you, until 5 years ago, it had probably been 10 years since I'd picked up my guitar. Can you tell by listening?
No, not at all, man. I mean, once God lays that gift on you, brother, it's there for life. God's good, man, and he certainly has given you that gift to play guitar, and the world will burn as a whole, man.
Well, thank you very much. And so, kind of to answer the second part of your question, when Brad was working on their Incorruptible album, I was involved in that. That got me more interested. I was just learning how to kind of record at home, and I really do think that it was maybe a God thing, because I started kind of out of the blue. I started hearing songs. I'd be going down the road, and somebody would honk a horn, and I would hear the sound of that horn, and all of a sudden I would hear the whole song. I would hear all the parts, and immediately, it was almost creepy. And so I would come home, and here would be the song. And I always struggled with finishing a song. I could write the riff, but I couldn't complete the song. And all of a sudden, almost instantly, almost miraculously, I would be able to come home and I would write the whole song and say, "That's wow, where did that come from?" So to be honest with you, maybe I just wasn't ready for it, or maybe I didn't have the patience. But it's just kind of like a flip was switched. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm a prolific songwriter. Dale's a prolific lyric writer. These songs have really come easy, and they come fast. I mean, when we do it. So I don't know, it kind of went from struggling all my life to try to complete a song to having songs all the time now. So, glory to God for that.
Amen, brother. The next song I'd like to talk about is called No One Wants to Die. Can you give some history
Yes.
about that song?
Yeah, it's weird. That song, I don't know, do you feel a little creepier vibe out of that?
Well, actually, no, to be quite honest with you, because as a believer, I think it's a glorious time to die because absent with the body, absent from the body is present with the Lord, So,
Yeah, that's true. This is so true.
so death is eternal, of course, and so is life is eternal,
Yeah.
right? Right? So
Yeah, exactly.
no one wants to die. You know what, man? Brother, I could sum it up like this. There's some days, I have some health issues, and there's some days I ask God, take me home, man. Just take me home. Why? But because I'm ready. I'm
True.
ready, and I know that I'm not gonna burn.
That's true.
That's kind of my
That's true.
perception of it.
Well, I think you're catching on to kind of our whole vibe, which is things are bad and getting worse, but it's not that big a deal. It's going to work out for us. And I think that's kind of our entire vibe. But this song, a lot of people have said, gosh, it just kind of sounds ominous, but from a musical perspective, I like a lot of guitar textures. And so that song, a lot of people have said, "Oh gosh, that sounds like something Marilyn Manson would do." Well, I'm not really trying to be gothic, but I do like a lot of texture with that song. So I wrote that song. I used some different sounds, and I used just some different techniques to try to create a mood with the song. And really, that's what we do. I think that's what a song is. It's simply a way for the artist to try to invoke some sort of emotion. emotional response from whoever hears it. And it's so weird because you listen to people and people say, you know, that the drum riff really gets me hopped up, or I love the lyrics, or I like the way that that scream happens, or, you know, all these different things. But this song was a song, I'll be honest, Dale saved it. I had it, but it kind of plodded along a little bit without Dale singing on it. And, you know, he came up with these fantastic lyrics, and he put the song together, and there it is. So I'm glad we're still talking about it. It's been out a few years, and I'm glad you like it.
It's awesome. And here it is. No One Wants to Die on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Break of day, lie out on my knee.
All right. Welcome back. And
Thank you.
You know, Alan, I like the way you had described it. Again, I'm going to go back to that robot thing. You know, great song, great arrangement. You know, I listened to both of these albums, Severity and Reunation, from track one to all the tracks. And these are the tracks that spoke to me personally. That's why I say great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll tell you a few things that we really were committed to. The first was to try to sound different than all of the modern hard rock that's out there. So when I first started to listen to hard rock again and see what was going on, I couldn't tell one band from the other. And if you throw back to the 70s, all those classic bands, you know, they all had a sound and they all kind of had a different approach. So number one, we wanted to be completely different. We didn't want to sound like everybody else. So that was really important. The second thing for us that we wanted to work on was to be completely honest and not care a bit about, is this a quote unquote hit? What are people going to think about it? We just said, let's write music that's different and we love. So that was something that we've really strived to do. And I think we've been successful. The third thing is we just try to write all good songs. And if they're not good, we don't use them. So we try not to have a lot of fill tracks.
Very cool, man. In your opinion, what defines a successful record?
Wow. I guess there are so many ways that you could consider that. But I think for a band like us, I think it's going to be a combination of things. But as an artist, the number one thing is to make sure that you listen to that record and you're proud of it. You've got to like the music yourself. I don't know if anybody else is going to like it if you don't. So I think number one, you just have to like what you're producing. But I also think it is important at least that other people like it too, because if you think your music's great and nobody else does, maybe you've got a bad ear. So it's a combination.
I like that.
It's a combination of things. You know, I think 2019, whether you sell a lot of records, I can't say whether that's a way to judge it. There's some awesome albums out there that really not that many people know about, but if you like it and there are at least enough people out there that can give you enough encouragement that you want to do another one, I think it's successful.
The next track I'd like to talk about is called Love to Hate off the Reunation album. Can you give some history about that one?
I can. That's probably just my favorite jam that we've done. I just wanted a big riff. I said, man, I need a big riff here. I was playing around with them, and they were just kind of all these riffs I was coming up with. They just sounded too much like somebody else, and that riff wrote itself. And as soon as I came up with that riff, I made some adjustments. I said, holy cow, I've got a song here. And that's been our most popular song by far. We come right out of the gate hitting the face with it. So that's kind of been the song that most people know us from. But I'm proud of it. I sent it to Dale, and he just went crazy. He loved it. And then he wrote those awesome, aggressive lyrics to it, and he sings them with such conviction that has been probably our number one songs, the most streams, and the most talked about song we have. So thank you for recognizing and talking about it.
Absolutely. And here it is, Love to Hate on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Get afflicted and hate.
All right, we are back with Alan Zering. And that song, you made a statement, it's in your face. That's what I'm talking about. It's, I got your attention, let's rock. You know what I mean? That might not be the correct verbiage to use, but that's what I got out of it. How's that?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think what, you know, the riff, I love the riff. I still love the riff. I'm proud of it. But, you know, I think you got to filter that through what Dale was thinking. So he hears that song, and I think at the time he was feeling like a lot of us feel, you know, if you have your faith and it is important to you that somehow you've become an enemy of a certain segment of society, or that it's not popular, you know. But we know that it's been that way since Jesus walked the earth. So if you're going to hate us for it, well, bring it on. But we don't want to back down, and we need to stay strong. And Dale wrote those awesome lyrics for the song. I think it really hits a lot of people in today's society to say, hey, I don't have to be embarrassed for who I am or what I believe.
Right on, man. What is a piece of musical advice that you had received from somebody, or someone rather, that forever changed your way of thinking?
Boy, there's so many good things, to say, but if I had to give you one thing, and right here, kind of off the cuff, this is what I'll tell you that I think is the most important thing, even though it's really hard to describe. Good music and a good song has to groove. Well, that's hard to describe, but I learned that in my jazz days. And we had an instructor, his name was Ken Birdwell. He would teach us how to groove and how to feel that song, and how when we all hit it together, it would take it to the next level. And so we kind of have a groove test, you know what I mean, with our songs. We listen to those songs, and at some point, if we don't think they groove, they're done. So that's the main thing, is really listen to that song, get into that song, and see if that song, don't listen to the notes, just see if you can feel the groove with that song. Because I don't care what it is, if it's rock, if it's country, it's got to groove, and people can feel it when they listen. So always get that song to groove, and I think you'll have a good one.
Right on. You know, my groove test is this, man. You know, I got 2,000 watts of power going through some JBLs, okay? And what I do is I crank it up to 11, right? And if my head keeps banging from start to finish, that's my groove test. You know, I mean, if the hair's flying and, okay, hey, I'm good.
That's it. That's the same thing. When that song grooves, you can't help it. You're going to bang your head whether you want to or not.
Right. It's like a drummer, you know, or well, we all do it. You're driving down the road, you know, you hear a great song and, you know, we're tapping on the steering wheel. You know, we're playing the drums, you know, we're grooving.
That's the groove. Welcome to the groove.
Exactly, brother. All right. Next song I'd like to talk about is called Child of Tomorrow. Can you give some history about that one?
Yeah, this is kind of an outlier. We have a couple songs this way. We've got one on the new album coming out that I think people will like. Child of Tomorrow is almost like a salute to those big, heavy grooving, riffing bands from the 70s. And if you notice, it kind of has that big arena rock feel to it. The lick could have come right out of the 70s, even though we kind of put a modern flair on it. So that song just became this kind of a big anthem. When I wrote that, I said, gosh, this song is totally out of the 70s, you know, this that big rock sound. But I love that kind of music. I wanted it to be modern, but we threw it out there. Same thing. Dale liked it a bunch. And so he came up with these amazing lyrics, even though he doesn't obviously sing like somebody would have sung it back in the 70s. So Child of Tomorrow is our kind of our throwback song.
And it's a great song. And here it is. Child of Tomorrow on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Blankets to sew, like a suffocating
All right, welcome back. We are with Alan Zering. And Alan, man, you know, I love this stuff, man. You know, I can't get enough of it. I'm so glad that I have the albums, you know, because I have them in my truck. I really do. And when I'm going down the road, I'll pop it in, man.
Well, I can't tell you how important it is to hear that. And the fact that you love this music and that you help these artists like us and so many others that are kind of up and comers, it just makes all the difference in the world to have just a few people that go, man, I like that. That's really good stuff. It moved me. So thank you for what you do.
My pleasure, my friend. What can people expect in the near future from The World Will Burn?
Man, we have got some really cool stuff going. So we've flirted with it and told a few people, but I'll just kind of bust it loose to you right now. The most exciting thing is the addition of Michael Fahan on the drums. And I don't know if you know him. He's played with White Cross. I think that's how most people know him.
I know him personally.
You know, great groove drummer, the perfect fit. And we're so excited to have him on board.
Awesome.
He's touring right now. I think they had a White Cross tour, and he's playing with Bloodgood. But as soon as we get him back, we're going to get him in the studio to record his drum parts, and that is super exciting. And, you know, what I've learned is he's just a cool guy.
Oh, he's completely amazing. But I had met Michael in North Platte, Nebraska, when he did a White Cross gig. And
wow.
It was great, man. I mean, an amazing drummer. I mean, I have a set of sticks that he signed for me because I told you of my health. And he wrote a prayer for me on the drumstick.
What a solid guy. But, you know, like I said, can you imagine what he's going to do with our songs? I'm just super excited about it.
I can't wait to hear that, man.
And I think he... You know, it's tough to find the right person, but this is just like a glove. It's just like a glove. So we're really excited for you to hear what he's going to do on this this next album. The songs are pretty much written, and we have just about everything done except for Michael's drums. And we're just pumped. We cannot wait to get this album out. It is just the coolest. We're just really in love with it. A little bit different. I don't know if you know about Dale's other projects, but Bride came out with a new album last year. He's got a band called N.O.G. with some Brazilian guys, and Perpetual Paranoia as a heavy project that Dale's singing on. So we had to be a little bit different because, you know, Dale has so many really hard, heavy albums out. So we really use a lot more dynamics. And we wanted to keep these songs super intense, but we just didn't want to, you know, just go crazy with the blast beat, speed metal type stuff. So anyway, I think you guys are going to like it. At least I hope you do. We're super pumped about it. We've got some killer songs on this thing. So keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully that'll be out here in the next few months. Hopefully this summer, I think it will release it, and just keep an eye on our webpage and our Facebook and all that stuff. And we'll give everybody the information on it. And Jim, don't worry. We'll get some to you as soon as we've got them so that you can check them out.
I appreciate that. Alan, what we're going to do, man, is we're going to go ahead and close the show out. I'd like to ask you one more question though. What type of legacy, or how do you want to be remembered by your friends and family when you pass on?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Like what would my tombstone say? I think if there's one thing that I would want people to know, if I was on my deathbed and I could talk to people, if I knew that was coming or after I died, was to say beyond anything, whether or not I ever played music or recorded any albums or worked a job or whatever, was just to say he tried to live his life the way God wanted him to. That's really it. I mean, that's the only thing that we can just do. And we just got to get up every day, put on our boots, and just try to live our life the way that God wants us to live it. He gives us the Bible to know how to do it. And that's not easy. That's not easy. And so I don't want people to think that I am successful at it, but every day I put on my boots and I try. And that's the best I can do, and I think that's what's asked of us. So, yeah, if I kick the bucket, hopefully people go, hey, he tried every day.
Amen, my friend. Well, Alan, what we're going to do is we're going to close it out. And I just want to say to you, my friend, that I sincerely wish you guys, The World Will Burn, the utmost success. And I pray that God just continues to bless you guys, your families, and that he just keeps comforting you in everything that you do. And again, I want to thank you for this opportunity, because speaking with you has truly touched my heart. And thank you.
Well, Jim, let me thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. I thank you for what you do for fans of heavy music. And for the example you are. So you're out there trying to make a difference every day. So just like we talked about, you're putting on your boots every day, you wake up, and you give it your best shot. And then that's all we can ask for.
Right on. All right. Well, there you have it. An interview with Alan Zering from the band The World Will Burn. What we're going to do is we are going to play one more song. This one here is called Time. Peace.
It's not your friend. It takes, it never gives. Can't put it in a bottle, save it for a rainy day. Once it's gone, it will not come again. Time is not your friend. Wasting time, it takes, it never gives. Before time wastes you, can't put it in a bottle, save it for a rainy day. Gone, it will not come again. No time waste you. I hear this smoking like a thick cloud on my mind. My brain is throbbing like a bottle of cheap wine. My thoughts are swimming in a pool of forgetfulness. My love is drowning beneath the waves of discontent. Don't live with regrets.
Stop wasting time.
Make every second count
before time with you.
Live free and stand up tall.
Stop wasting
because
time.
Wasting time is the greatest
before
skill
time
of all.
With you.
Don't live with regret. Make every second count. Find me like an open book for every eye to see. The road to nowhere keeps me coming back, right on time to touch the hands of Christ. Stop wasting time before time with you. Memories erased with a single pen stroke.